Case 22-1222, Willie Burton versus City of Detroit, Michigan, et al. Argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Ayad, you may proceed for the appellant.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Attorney Navi Ayad. Police Commissioner for the City of Detroit. Your Honors, I don't have much to add to what we indicate in our brief, but I want to just alert the court to the fact that the opposing really didn't address the issue of the Roberts Rules of Order, which the board itself adopted, and the opposing agrees that they adopted, so does the district court Judge Cox agrees that that's what's been adopted. If that's what's been adopted, it's basically an agreement that these are the rules that we're going to follow. It's this idea as if playing in a football game. You can get assaulted, you can get hit, you can get what have you, but the idea is if we agree that we're going to follow these rules, just like the rules in the NBA or the NFL or what have you, that's the rules that the City of Detroit must follow. They point to the case of Leonard versus Robinson. Leonard versus Robinson was dealing a member in the audience. It was not dealing with a duly elected individual on the board. This gentleman, Willie Burton, the police commissioner, the youngest commissioner, I believe, in the country, is representing almost 100,000 residents in the City of Detroit. And those residents are very open. They want him to advocate on this particular issue. And that being said, they never really addressed. We have a whole bunch of arguments that they do on appeal, that the City of Detroit does. But it's like they want their cake and they want to eat it too as well at the same time. They argue that, well, the Roberts Rules of Order, you know, yeah, when it's beneficial to them, they argue that really they're not in violation of the Roberts Rules of Order. When it's not beneficial, they say that the appellant violated the Roberts Rules of Order.
Mr. I guess I just have, one question that goes to that point. There's this Michigan Penal Code section that was arguably violated. Is it your position that the Roberts Rules of Procedure or bylaws would somehow supersede any provisions of state statute?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's the same idea that there's assault and battery. If I hit you on a football field, if I come at you and hit you, punch you, kick you, throw you to the floor, the same idea is that you consented to these rules under whether it be the High School Football Association, whether it be the National Football League. The idea is you consented to be part of these rules. As an elected official, you follow these rules. The bylaws say you follow these rules. So these police officers that sat there for, and they admitted under testimony and depositions, Your Honor, that for years they've sat in these meetings. So what means is that if you sat in these meetings for years, you ought to know what the rules are, what rules that this board follows. And it's no different, Your Honor. They talk about, well, it's not clearly established. I have not seen in my 23 years career, much less in my life, my 2-year life, where an individual gets arrested at their own board meeting. That could be the United States Congress, that could be the U.S. Senate, that could be a city council meeting, that could be a public school board. No one gets arrested at their meeting for talking out of line or talking out of order and what have you. For them to stretch this, that means anybody that once the chair says, oh, you're out of order, immediately you get arrested, I think it's outrageous. We're setting a very dangerous precedent. The idea is that there are rules for that. And I'm not saying Mr. Burton, Your Honor, was the most, there were challenging times, so he'll outburst and what have you. But again, there are rules. He understood the rules. And the Roberts Rules of Order, which their bylaws adopted, Your Honor, they said you must first vote to get this person out. Once the majority of the board votes, then you can take him out. If you look at the other arguments, if you adopt the other the party's arguments, if a board member, hereby being the chair, like this party here, does not like a certain board member, she can immediately say, arrest them, get them out of here. And that's not what the rules are for, Your Honor. Again, The case of Leonard versus Robinson talks about a member in the community, not a duly elected board member. That board member has to follow those rules. At the end of the day, that's their jurisdiction, that's their board, that's their event. And they have their certain rules in order. And I find it crazy that the city of Detroit says, oh, we didn't know or what happened. They said that in under deposition testimony that if indeed that was, if you knew that this was the rules, you would not have taken certain action. They said yes. So they never really addressed this issue of, before you get to all these allegations, I tell you, these arguments are plain and cut and simple, Your Honor. The fact is that if you find that these police officers acted within clearly established grounds, then that's one thing. But they didn't, because they were there to house and monitor these types of meetings. And they should have known for years that you just can't throw a board member out. He's a duly elected official of the community.
Well, counsel, let me ask you this. Suppose the board member had gotten up, you know, brandishing a gun. Could the police officers have taken him out of the meeting at that point?
Yes, because, Your Honor, that is not a free speech. Free speech, we're talking about speech. If I go, this board member, this Willie Bird, cannot sit there and punch his co-board members. He cannot sit there and brandish a gun. That is illegal. When you're talking about First Amendment and there's rules under the First Amendment, as to what you're going to follow.
Okay, let me ask you this. Suppose that a member just got up and started, you know, just running around the room screaming, you know, making as much of a disturbance as you can imagine. Your position would still be that you had to have the board vote before that person could be removed from the room?
Your Honor, if it is speech, if it's only speech, absolutely, because it's speech. It's not something else. It's not some kind of assault. It's not kind of using a weapon. It's not other forms. Why? Because the speech was already contemplated in their board meetings. They decided under their bylaws, Your Honor, to follow the Robert's Rules of Order. And the Robert's Rules of Order has exactly what you should do when board members are out of line. And that's what they should have followed, and they didn't, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Ayyad. Your initial time has expired.
Thank you. Your Honor, Scanny O'Connor on behalf of the appellees. And I'm not really sure what argument the appellant says we didn't address. These issues were robustly briefed, and I'm quite familiar with the ways of this court, and I know this court has read everything. The fact of the matter is that the plaintiff in this case narrowly violated the pregnant Michigan statutes, but he didn't comply with the Robert Rules of Order either. The chairperson was, they were having a meeting to recognize a member for service to the community when the plaintiff began speaking out of turn. He interrupted the chairperson. He was warned no less than 3 times that he was out of order. In fact, the meeting of the day couldn't have gone forward because, quite frankly, the appellant was belligerent and had to be arrested and removed from the scene. I cited on page 18 of my brief, we listed the exact steps that the appellant would have needed to take if he was going to be compliant with the Robert's Rules of Order. You don't just interrupt someone who's speaking. You have to wait for that person to yield the floor, and once they yield the floor, you formally stand up, and then you make a motion, and then that motion has to be seconded by someone else. These are parliamentary rules under the Robert's Rules of Order. So not only was the appellant not compliant with the Robert's Rules of Order, he was also in breach of the pregnant Michigan statute because it was causing a disturbance.
I guess I'm just having trouble understanding, counsel, I'm just having trouble understanding how Robert's Rules of Order even plays into this calculation. I think he's making the argument, your opposing counsel, that a reasonable officer in this situation should have known this meeting was governed by the Robert's Rules of Order and therefore should have conducted himself or herself according to those rules in determining whether to arrest the person. But I haven't seen any authority, maybe there is, addressing this situation where you have to recognize the Roberts Rules of Order, but, I mean, are you aware of any case law or any authority discussing whether Roberts Rules of Order plays into the ability of a police officer to arrest someone for violation of, a probable cause for violation of a statute?
No, Roberts Rules of Order are basically parliamentary rules that are adopted by, I would say, most civil bodies. I haven't found any case law that ties into it directly, but the plaintiff in this case was in violation of the Roberts Rules of Order. And that makes it easier for this court, because not only was he violating a Michigan statute that forbids people from causing a disturbance at a meeting, he was also in violation of the very same order, the Roberts Rules of Order that he's filing before this court that he was complying with. He was supposed to ask for recognition. He didn't ask for recognition. He interrupted the chair who was speaking, and he was warned no less than 3 times. And this happened in full view of the police officers who were also at the meeting. So he was causing a disturbance, and so he was eventually removed when he wouldn't stop talking. I mean, they gave him 3 chances to stop talking. Then they requested that he leave the room, which he wouldn't do. And then they at that point, they arrested him. So I think it makes it easier for this court's analysis that the statute is not in any friction with the Roberts Rules of Order. Had he complied with the Roberts Rules of Order, he wouldn't have violated the Third Michigan statute that prevents public members from causing a disturbance. So it's just, I don't understand what arguments he thinks we didn't address. We addressed every single argument he makes in his brief. He was causing a disturbance, and therefore the police officers had to intervene and arrest him.
Do you have any further argument, counsel?
No, I guess if I had an overarching argument, I would just say that the police officers have probable cause, and probable cause is fatal to the plaintiff's claims. This can be a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. While if there's probable cause for an arrest, that goes away. The same applies to a state claim for false arrest. If there's probable cause, then you know, that's the difference between an illegal arrest and a proper arrest. They had probable cause because he committed the disturbance in full view of this police officer. So I suppose if the court has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
We do not at this time, so thank you very much for your argument. Thank you. Mr. Ayad has 8 minutes, I think, of rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. You know, this case, I know it's a kind of a new precedent or new. We haven't really had any cases such as this, but you know, it's no different than the cases I've handled in this country, where they have handled the only case in the country where football players got charged for playing on the football field in a lakehead. And that judge in that particular matter dismissed the case. And they dismissed the case because they found that the fact is that you kind of assume the risk, you assume the rules and bylaws of what you agreed to do. Here, the rules and bylaws and understanding of this commission, this body, it's this body's show, it's this body's thing. It's no different than a boxing show, it's no different than a football game, it's no different than any of that. You have rules in your entity, and those rules must be followed. And the city of Detroit, can they arrest somebody for giving a late hit to a football player? Can they arrest somebody for giving a hit to under the belly for a boxer? Can they arrest somebody? No, they can't, because that was a consented understanding agreement by the parties, hereby by the governmental entity, the City of Detroit Board of Police Commissioners. They said in their bylaws, no one denies this, Your Honors, we're going to follow the Roberts Rules of Orders. No one commissioner can have me arrested. For God's sake, how dangerous of a rock are we saying that on the steps of, or on in the U.S. Capitol, or the House of Representatives, where one body or one representative, one senator speaks or continues to speak, or somebody in the chair tells them, you're out of order. If he doesn't, they arrest them. There's a process for that. They agreed to that process. The City of Detroit should have known that process. They've attended each and every meetings at these things for years now. They know what the process is, and they violated the process. The process is very simple. I'm not condoning what Mr. Burton did, Your Honors. I'm not condoning that he was, you know, he's advocating for constituents. They keep voting him. They want to argue. This is what makes this country so great, is the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And the fact is that when he addressed these things, he not even done it in the best of forms. But the fact is that they should have. They should have moved pursuant to the agreements they had under the bylaws, and that is vote to say that he's out of order, and once the majority, the rules are very clear, once the majority rules, then you can take them out. We would not be here today if they had not followed the rules and they did it, John. It's plain and simple.
What evidence is there in the record of any of the police officer's prior involvement with the council?
Oh, they've attended each and every board of commissioners, John.
These particular police officers that were involved, is there evidence that they've actually been there before?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe Mr. Valley said it, as well as Mr. Carrado as well. They've been there numerous times at these events. I've specifically asked them those questions, and they were there. They've been at these events. And not only that, Your Honor, whether they've been at these events or not, if you go on to house a commission meeting of elected individuals on the board, you ought to know it's not a simple process to sit there and arrest them. And I can assure you, Your Honor, nowhere in the country would we find another case where they arrested somebody on their own board meeting. Nowhere in the country would we find that, Your Honor. I assure you that.
Okay, do you have any further argument, Counsel?
No. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, we don't have any more questions at this time. So thank you both for your arguments this afternoon and for your participation via Zoom. Technology has worked as hoped, and we're happy about that. So the case will be submitted, and we'll have a decision for you in due course. Thank you very much.
Thank you.